Time now for the Mr. Floor Tip of the Week. For over 29 years, Mr. Floor has provided Chicago, the North Shore, and suburban homeowners and businesses with the finest hardwood flooring, installation, refinishing, and repair. Learn more at MrFloor.com. Oh, like right on.
Wow.
Right on it. All right. So Robbie started this whole fire theme this hour. So I think I was going to piggyback your the Mr. Floor Tip of the Week into this fire theme if we can.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So we should put ceramic tile everywhere?
Mm-hmm.
Well, typically fire is bad. Fire is bad. So
if there is a fire, you know, obviously that happens. And if people with wood floors, does that floor then need to be completely torn out and replaced? Is there a way to salvage it? How do you get that smoky smell out of a wood floor? Is it even, or is it, does it get sealed in? I don't know.
You've had experience with clients having a fire in the kitchen, maybe?
Unfortunately, we have.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, what's even worse than the fire is the water that's used to put the fire out.
Oh.
Because water is so unbelievably destructive. So, you know, we've seen high-rise building fires where, you know, it could be on whatever the 30th or 40th floor of a high-rise building. And then, you know, here come the, you know, the firemen with, you know, dousing the flames, or the sprinkler system goes off, or whatever the case is. And, you know, that water just, you know, runs and runs and runs and just takes everybody out below. So, you know, in a fire type situation, if the fire did not reach the floor and it's literally just a smoky type situation, Ron, what typically happens there is we're in essence, we're able to refinish that floor. We're able to remove the odor, just by virtue of sanding and then resealing that floor. But that smell really, gets encapsulated in, you know, with new paint, new varnishes on the floor, cleaning. There are restoration companies that can, you know, disaster restoration companies that can come in and basically apply certain, agents to remove that smoky, odor and those sorts of things. But yeah, if the fire reaches the floor and the floor actually gets scorched by the fire, there's very little we can do other than just replacing that floor.
You have to cut it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you cut out the damaged part, you can splice back in and move on, but it depends on how much damage is actually there. You know, if it's just an isolated area, then you can just repair that small area. But if it's three quarters of the room, you might as well just rip out the whole room.
And go with maple? or a nice mesquite, so that there way it kind of just...
Right, it has a nice...
That's right.
Get the ribs on.
Hickory. Hickory does well.
Yeah, that's true.
Gives you that smoky flavor.
So in case you do have a fire, next time you've got the hickory in there, it'll give you a nice aroma.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or a nice mesquite flavor.
Right, because everybody's planning on that fire.
Just saying, man. Planning ahead, just in case.
Robbie, you see what you started?
Yes,
you
see this? Yes.
There's other concerns, though, because, you know, if you have all the people that are the DIY people that are out there trying to do finishing of their floors, a lot of those finishes out there are combustible. And if they don't actually dispose of the rags correctly and everything else, stuff can blow up.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's even a bigger problem.
What's that called? Self-combustion? What's that, Rich? Let's go to the code book. There you are.
And I know of a house down in Frankfurt that they did that. They had just finished a house, redid the, you know, the floors were finished, and they left them all in a pile, and they ignited, and the house burned down. So, all right. At least we put anchor bolts in the sill plate so we knew where to start again.
Wow. That's pretty bad.
Yeah, you hear that from time to time, you know, like even just in the Chicagoland area or even nationally. I mean, I get emails from the NWFA, the National Wood Flooring Association, and there's always, unfortunately, a fire or two that's a self sort of combustible or combusted type of a event. It could be a rag that's thrown in with some sawdust, or it could be, you know, who knows? I mean, a million different things go wrong. And so you hear of these, you know, catastrophic events where, you know, it's a job site condition and, you know, the house goes up in flames. I mean, it's a terrible, terrible thing, but, safety obviously is critically important in the use of certain finishes. You know, we stay away from these really sort of combustible and ignitable type coatings, typically more on the water-based side, much safer to work with. The rags aren't as much of an issue, but aside from even the coatings, it's the stains. You know, a lot of these wiping stains that are used for furniture applications, I mean, they're unbelievably combustible. inflammable. So even, you know, if just high temperatures, you know, like today's going to be in the mid-90s, you know, that type of a rag soaked in wiping stain that's just thrown into a bag sitting in the back of a van, just the temperature that builds inside that bag can ignite this thing. So it's very, very serious conversation.
Yep, exactly. So, okay, so that kind of ties our flooring thing in there. You guys have to deal with that every once in a while, too. I mean, it's just, it's like every trade still has, you know, fire is an issue within every trade. So, even to the flooring guys.
Yeah. Well, so, sometimes especially with the flooring guys. Because, again, you know, if you're not disposing of things correctly, you're not following, you know, certain protocols, you're inviting trouble. You're asking for it. And you know, we try to go through great lengths to ensure that we can at least, you know, maybe not eliminate, but minimize many of those, you know, potential hazards. So it's critically important. I think every industry, or you know, I don't care if you're a plumber, electrician, you know, flooring, you know, painting, whatever the case is, you're working in certain conditions that if the stars align just right, you're going to have a situation where there could be a fire.
Right.
And to tie into what you were saying at the beginning, should we tile everything? Tile isn't your answer necessarily either, because if you're dumping loads and loads of water on it, that water is going to infiltrate through the grout, can loosen up the tile, and you're going to be replacing the tile as well. So, I mean, pretty much any flooring, floor covering is going to or can be affected by a fire. Carpet's going to melt. Vinyl's going to melt. Wood's going to burn.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
Even the tile can get scorched because it's not meant to be done like that. So even the surface can get scorched and have an issue.
Yeah, but I've been in many situations, Ron, where, you know, post-fire disaster restoration company comes in and they've got special chemicals that, you know, they can put on the walls and even on the floors to kind of treat for that odor. And if the floor is not affected by that fire, if it's just, you know, let's say just dirty or it's scratched up from, you know, the fireman going in or whatever the case is, maybe a little bit of water got on it, but in essence, it was, you know, cleaned up, wiped up. If we can restore that floor, and in many cases we can refinish it, we can restain it and reseal it, and it's basically back to normal. And Aaron was just saying, you know, if a certain portion got damaged in you know, in the fire, it's just a simple replacement, but it's not a guarantee that you're going to have to replace that floor.
Right.
There's no guarantee that you even have to replace walls. I mean, you know, I've seen there's certain products where they're actually wiping the walls down with this chemical, and it takes care of smoke, it takes care of the soot that's left over. You know, I've seen black walls completely, you know, get wiped virtually clean with these certain chemicals. So there's a lot of technology out there that's helping now, in bring these homes back to normal.
Cool. All right, and then one last thing is, I got a call this week, and they said the floors that used to have gaps don't have gaps anymore. And so over the winter, obviously, it dries out. There's no humidity in the house, and all these gaps open up. So now at this time of year, those gaps are starting to close.
Right.
And is that a bad thing? That they start closing up or that they're moving like that?
It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's natural. It's going to expand and contract with the environment. The challenge is when people use that wood filler in there because I got a phone call actually a couple weeks ago because we were starting to get humid and everything else. The client was absolutely beside herself. She did not use us. She had her floors. They were 5-inch wide oak floors.
Oh. And, so there's a lot of movement.
Right,
in that.
There's a lot of movement. Yeah. She had them refinished before she moved into the house in Northbrook, and the guy trowel in wood filler throughout the entire thing.
So she has a gravel floor now, is what you're saying?
Actually, more like razor blades.
Really?
So she called me. She's like, I don't know what to do and everything else. I went out there, and you've seen me when I walk into a home. I always take off my shoes. Mm-hmm. I had to put my shoes back on. I couldn't walk on her floor. Because in every single gap that had now closed up, the wood filler actually had pushed up, and it was like a razor blade on the floor.
Yeah. So as it pushes up, but isn't that damaging the wood, too, because the wood's starting to expand? Yes. So by having the filler in there, that actually eventually makes it worse.
Yeah, it actually impedes the ability of the wood to re-expand correctly, because now you've got the stuff that's in between the boards that's not allowing it to re-expand. So the wood fiber is actually getting crushed on the end because it's compressing up against that wood filler. And as Aaron was just saying, you know, this example, that it's an extreme example, but we see this wood filler problem all the time. As a rule, we do not trowel wood filler into the gaps in between the boards because we know it's going to expand and contract. And in the winter, it's gonna contract, and you're going to see these ugly openings that are half filled and half not filled. And in the summer, all the wood filler gets pushed up, and you wind up with either these razor blades or this very unsightly floor where then somebody has to come in and remove that wood filler. So it's a pointless exercise, and we just don't do it, and it doesn't look good.
All right.
Ah, there you go.
Very nice.
All right. That is the Mr. Floor Tip of the Week this week. And I appreciate you guys always coming in and kind of going with the flow, whatever the show's doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
We appreciate it. All right. Go to MrFloor.com for more information. And we appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, have a nice weekend, everyone.
Thanks. All right. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to
Mighty House.